What is the evidence that you are filled with the Spirit? Evidence. Emotional experience, weird behavior, speaking in tongues. I just wade right in, right? What can we expect the Holy Spirit to do in us if He's in control? I get it. Because of abuse in the church, a lot of us are afraid to even talk about these things. Even talk about or think about the Spirit-filled life. But we shouldn't be. And last week, we looked at the command to be filled with the Spirit. The week before, we looked at the path we're to walk, which is the path of wisdom. Then last week, the command to be filled with the Spirit. And then this week, the result of being filled with the Spirit. The outflow of that. What will that produce in our lives? So there's nothing to be afraid of in the book of Ephesians. Think about this. The book of Ephesians, written to a young church there, written to establish them in Christ, grow them in grace, tell them all the riches they have in Christ. Things like tongues are never mentioned. We get sidetracked these days when we focus on sign gifts and things like that. There was so much written to Corinth because they had it so messed up. But in Ephesians, and flowing out of that, we want to talk about the result of being filled with the Spirit. In contrast to being drunk with wine, which produces reckless actions, Paul lays out the clear effects of being filled with the Spirit. And I've sort of summarized those under three heads. But since we have people here who haven't been with us, let me take just a minute and review the flow of the book of Ephesians. If you go and read the book of Ephesians, you'll see that the first three chapters are basically the gospel and our riches in Christ. Who Jesus is, who God is, what He's done for our redemption, who we are in Jesus. So it's the free grace given to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to live under His own law as the Son of God. He came to live in perfect fulfillment of that law to provide righteousness for the glory of God and for the good of His people, because we don't have any righteousness. All of our righteousness outside of Christ is filthy rags. That's why we cannot save ourselves. Right? And then He took our sin upon Himself and died to pay the penalty for that sin on the cross. He drank the cup of wrath dry that you and I deserve to have. God's righteous response to us apart from Christ could only be wrath. But Christ took that upon Himself that we might have His blessing. Be clothed in His righteousness. Be forgiven of all of our sins. Be accepted by God as His children. Have hope for this life and the life to come. That is all a free gift through faith in Jesus. So if you trust in Christ, you get salvation free to you because it was costly to Him. So that's the first three chapters. Are you trusting in Jesus this morning? And then the last three chapters, chapters 4 through 6. Okay, how do we live in light of God's grace? What should our lives look like because we are Christians, not in order to become Christians? We can't work our way to being saved, but we certainly, in the power of the Spirit, work out what He's working in us, which is a growingly joyful, righteous life in Christ. So the first three chapters is the gospel and everything we have free, who we are in Jesus. 4 through 6 is the life we're to live on the basis of the gospel and on the basis of His grace. And this morning, having worked our way through chapters 4 and 5, we come now to the topic of being filled with the Spirit, and especially this morning, the outflow of that, or the result of that. What did Paul highlight for the believers in Ephesus that would be the result of their being filled with the Spirit? And I want to give you three, I don't do this much, but three words that start with S to help you remember. A Spirit-filled heart is a singing, satisfied, submissive heart. A Spirit-filled heart is a singing, satisfied, submissive heart. Look at the text. First, a singing heart. Verse 19, right after telling us to be filled with the Spirit, then come all these participles that show us the result. But first, look in verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. There is a horizontal dimension to our worship when we're together singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, focusing on and praising the Lord. But there's also a vertical dimension that we are hearing one another and being strengthened and encouraged as we worship the Lord. So I don't want to get into to some of the debates we couldn't get into with this text, but I want to focus you like a laser on the gospel should produce in you a singing heart. The gospel should make you sing. Numbers of people coming to faith in Jesus have written hymns. Beautiful hymns, some of which we sang this morning. Certainly we have inspired psalms in the middle of our Bible that we can sing. We have evidence all through the New Testament of parts of songs that the Christians were singing. And they're spiritual. It doesn't mean they're inspired like the Word of God, but in dependence upon the Spirit, writing songs that highlight the truths of God's Word, focused on Christ, that we might sing the gospel and be encouraged and strengthen. We're told right here that one of the outflows of being filled with the Spirit is there will be songs to the Lord in our heart. We'll be singing and making melody to the Lord in our heart. We'll have a singing heart and sing songs of praise. Just a couple of verses in the Psalms that show us. Did you know God commands you to sing? Oh, we don't like to be commanded to do anything. But on the base, you should be so enthralled with His grace that it would be your joy to obey this. But He commands us to sing. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. I am so glad it used that word noise. And I'm so glad y'all sing with me. Because it's a noise, but you drown me out. And we all do well together. Let us make a... Isaac, I just destroyed your music. If you're new here, that's not the first time I've ever knocked anything over. A little bit demonstrative. It'll be okay. Relax. You're awake now too, though, right? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock. Notice, to the rock of our salvation. To our Savior, to the one who has saved us. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Look at this one. Sometimes Reformed people get a little nervous when you start about clapping your hands, but clap your hands. You know what that is? A command. Clap your hands, all peoples. It's okay sometime if we sing a song that includes us clapping. Not for show purposes, but clap. Anyway, shout to... Look at this. Command. Shout to God. Does that sound like... I'm so thankful for your grace. Shout to the Lord. Shout to God with loud, look, in case we didn't understand, loud songs of joy. Shout to the Lord with loud songs of joy because the gospel should so resonate and so rejoice our hearts that we sing to the Lord. Sing His psalms. Sing hymns. Sing spiritual songs. Sing songs of praise. You ever get so excited that you just want to clap? Clap. Sing. Celebrate. We should do this in our personal lives. In our private lives. Do you ever in your personal devotions sing to the Lord? Some of you looking at me like I got a snake's coming out of my head. Others are like, yeah. It's usually the women who say, yeah. That's not good. I usually don't do it if anybody else is in the house. But when Cindy and Andrew are gone, sometimes I will sing. I walk around and sing. Dog thinks I'm crazy. But sing to God. It should resonate. Your heart should be singing and rejoicing. Singing to the Lord in your heart. But if listen, what everything starts in the heart, but it's going to come out. Heart transformed by His grace. You mean I get forgiveness for all of my sins? And better than that, I get your righteousness credited to my account and all I have to do is trust Jesus? Oh, that's too good to be true. I know, but He purchased it for you. He purchased it for you. And not just hope for this life before the one to come. If you lay your head on your pillow tonight and you die and you're trusting in Jesus, Man, next thing in His presence, free of sin, no misery, full satisfaction, joy in worship. Gospel understood takes away a fear of death. Therefore, the gospel understood takes into our hearts songs of praise and worship. Singing to the Lord with our hearts. Addressing one another, like I said, the horizontal and the vertical dimension of corporate worship, especially. Listen to me. Blessing this morning. Few things are more encouraging than being in a room full of people singing at the top of their voice for the glory of God. And I'll brag on my Presbyterian brothers a little bit that I went to seminary with. There could be 20 of us in a hall big enough to hold 400. And when we did chapel, you would think it was full. The way they sang. And that loud shout of amen at the end. Makes me chills. Nothing that I can think of, few things are more encouraging than being in a group of people who love Jesus and singing His praise together. The first outflow of a Spirit-filled life is singing, joyful singing, because of His grace. And if you don't mind, I want to take a few minutes and pick on the guys. Because we're the worst. Now, ladies, if you can enter into this, this is fine. And that doesn't mean I do see some, and I don't judge you if I see you not singing. You may be praying, you may be struggling. But guys are the worst about this. They're the worst about not doing, you know, singing loud songs, shouting to God for His grace. Many times, if someone's not singing, it's a guy. If you do not get God's grace, I understand why you're not singing. There is no reason to sing. If you think rationally and really, apart from His grace. But if you get the gospel, you should delight in obeying the Lord joyfully. And part of that obedience is singing. But this is what the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. Songs of joy. So what are some of the hindrances to singing, guys? I'm not a singer. All right, Moses, are you mute? Because I see different when we're walking around with our headphones on. That's kind of embarrassing when you get caught, isn't it? You ever done that? You ever been in a room with somebody who's singing with headphones on? Very few of us sound good when we do that. But you're not mute. You can make a joyful noise. And you know what? If we're doing it all together, we drown one another out. And if we don't, so what? I can't sing. I won't prove that to you now. Sit close to me one Sunday. It doesn't matter if you're not a singer. We have those up here helping us sing. Well, and related to that, I don't sing well. Well, I'm sorry. You don't husband well either, but you have to do that, right? You say, you have to grow in it. And none of us are perfect yet. We're all messed up husbands. It's okay. We're messed up wives. He's growing us up to be more like Jesus. We won't justify disobeying God just because we're not good at something. And He commands you to shout. He commands you to sing loudly. He commands you to make a joyful noise. And listen, I'm preaching to the choir in a lot of ways because a lot of y'all sing out and really well. You might say this, I'm not comfortable with singing out. Okay. Me either. I'm not the hero of this. Nobody said you had to be comfortable. That psalm didn't say, wait till you're comfortable and then shout to the Lord and sing loud songs of praise. Most of us guys, especially if we're not in a group drowned out, most of us are not comfortable with that. But grace should work that in our hearts. And you folks sitting in the back should be the loudest singers. Help us. Sometimes we migrate to the back so we can sing to the Lord. Ask yourself this. Why don't I want to sing to the Lord? What am I missing? Because the scripture here says that if the Spirit's at work, He's going to lead me in singing. Now, I'm going to give you one more. Singing is not a cool or a manly thing to do. Careful. Careful with that one. Young people, this will infect you. If you're sitting with your young crowd, you may not want to sing out. Get your eyes on Jesus and worship Him. If they don't like it, they'll figure it out. The same for us guys, you know. Jesus sang. And He did it a cappella. With a little group of guys that had it all figured out. No, they didn't. Right before the cross, singing with them. It's cool, it's manly. Who's your model? Let it be Jesus. Because listen, the singing is not primarily about you. You know, I heard a pastor one time, the guy went to him and said, I think we're going to see if we can find another church. And the preacher said, why? And he said, well, we're just not getting anything out of the music. And the preacher smiled and said, it's not for you. It's not. It's for God primarily. Now, it is for you to help you sing. But singing's not primarily about you. It's about the Lord. It's about encouraging those around you in corporate worship or encouraging those around you in your family. Praise Him and encourage Him. And whether you like it or not, the mantle to lead is on you. And let your children see and you do stuff for Jesus that you're not really all that good at. Don't just hide all that stuff from them and show. I used to think my daddy didn't fail at anything and wasn't scared of anything. Didn't ever cry. Because he never let me see that stuff. And therefore I thought I was just messed up because I was afraid of stuff and failed at stuff. And you know what I'm saying? You don't have to be a perfect singer to sing. Singing's not about you. Praise Him and encourage others. Dads, hey, overflow room. Y'all be singing in there now, okay? It's tempting when you're in a small room like that to kind of mute it down. Don't do that. Sing out. Dads, men, lead out. Example joyful worship. Teach your kids. Let them see you enthralled with Jesus. That don't mean I have to sing. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. God commands you to sing, and it says that the Spirit will make a singing heart in you that will come out in a joyful noise. So forget about yourself, focus on Jesus, and let that joyful noise rip. Because a Spirit-filled heart is a singing heart. Because it's joyful in Jesus. And it's singing, secondly, because it's a satisfied heart. Look at this. This is hard, but I got to move because we had a lot going on today. Look at this. The second evidence or result is giving thanks for most things. Giving thanks always and for everything. Notice there's an object there. To God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and for everything. You mean when I broke my leg? Yeah! When my kid threw a tomato and bounced it off my head. Yeah! They'll do that sometimes, you know. Especially little ones. Boy, they're dangerous when they're eating. The really hard stuff, we have to come around to it through the tears, but yes! Why? Because God the Father, our Father, is sovereign and in control. And promises to work everything out for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Everything won't be good. And some of it will be sin against you, but you can thank Him for it because He's going to work it for good. Everything won't be joyful. Some will be very sad and confusing, but you can lean on Him in those times and know that He's in control and is going to see you through and make you more like Jesus. See, if we're getting the gospel and we know who our Father is and His power and His authority, His love, His control, His sovereignty, we know His heart from sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for us and die for us and be raised from the grave, who is reigning for us and coming back to get us someday. If we know that nothing can touch us that doesn't come through His fatherly hands, and that everything He allows into our lives, as confusing as it can be, must work for our salvation, then we can stop having pity parties and get into the business of thanking Him for everything. Everything. That's why I said it's a satisfied heart. See, it's not a typo. It says everything. How? In the name of Jesus. It's not... Listen, just quickly. To thank Him in the name of Jesus is not just to say in Jesus' name. To pray in the name of Jesus is not just to say in Jesus' name. It's to pray in accord with who Jesus is, in Christ, according to His purpose and will, or through the gospel. It's to know who He is and therefore come to God through Him with these lenses of faith and the gospel so you can trust Him. Listen, your trust is not tested by a day at the beach that goes just the way you wanted it to go. Your trust is tested by the day at the beach when the flies are biting you and the waves knock you over and the sand's blown all over you and it rains on your head. You didn't give me what I asked for. No, I gave you something better. Look how spoiled you are. God is in complete control, using everything for my good, making it work for my salvation. Nothing, listen, own this in this day we live in. Nothing happens to you by chance. That's going to be hard when you lose a kid, or a spouse, or a job. But it's true. Every one of our days were marked out before there was one. And I don't know that book. I don't get to look into it. But He does. And it's primarily about Him. Everything is a reason for gratitude. Just a small example that tested me. It's funny how little things can test you. But I've told y'all before, one of the things I struggle with is worry. And then Cindy's traveling back from Columbia. Not this trip, but... Three trips ago? Anyway, the tire. And so she's coming through Wilmington and she hits what she said looked like a carburetor coming across the road. And the tire bursts and she calls me and says, "Well, I was doing pretty good. But..." And then she told me what happened. Now, I know that section of road. I know it. She's not in, you know, the best neighborhood. And so immediately my mind is running off on, oh my word, you know, who's going to stop? Where's she going to go? What, you know, Well, you know what he did? She hit the carburetor, whatever it was, right in front of a recycling office so that she could turn right into that driveway and walk to that office, and a man in a suit would come out, crawl under her car, check it out, change the tire, had an air tank to blow the thing up because it didn't have any air in it, the donut spare. Saw her all the way home on a donut. Money, because we can't afford stuff like that. Money we're not expecting, hits the mailbox. Pays for more than the tire. So God just showing off. Amen. Count it all joy. Amen. He was just showing off that day. And it's just another vision into the futility of my worry, another vision into His faithfulness, another vision into counting it all joy and trusting my Father. Now, He may not do it exactly that way every time. We've had other times but He saw us through and He grew us in the process. But I mean, He's just like, okay, we're going to show out today. Bang. Flat tire. Jeff, I know what you're going to think. Watch this. I wouldn't change it. And that's a little thing. I mean, there's bigger things to talk about. But just an illustration. Everything is a reason for gratitude. Everything is coming through the hands of our Father and being used for good and growth in grace. Not to make us primary. We want to be comfortable and have these happy feelings all the time. But to grow us in grace. And listen, I was at the gym. Yes, pray for me. I'm starting to work out again. I needed to do that. And they're real encouragers down there. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Thanks. But I got to thinking about that. That's true. You know? And then there's a spiritual application. You know when you grow the most? When you're struggling the deepest. It's leaning you away from this world, away from yourself, onto your God. And then He comes through. Not on your timetable. So a second evidence of a Spirit-filled heart is a grateful heart. It's a satisfied heart. I'm satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Everything else is gravy. So I can be thankful for all things, knowing that they come through His sovereign hand. Lastly, a Spirit-filled heart is a submissive heart. We love this one, don't we? Ladies, relax. Submission has been taught horribly in the church. We make little popes or little kings out of the husbands. And oh, I can't wait to preach on those verses. You may not be excited about it. But I can't wait to preach on true submission and true headship in the house. But submission, submitting to one another. This is not, there's no authority. We just all submit to one another. Christ, for the good of His church, has set authority structures in place, but for your good. And He's not made anybody a pit boss with a club. Any leader is supposed to be a servant leader. That's what we hope to have in even our political leaders. It doesn't always turn out that way. But this word means to line up under. We're lining up under His authority. We're submitting to one another. Notice what it says. It doesn't just say submit to one another. Out of reverence for Christ. So our eyes are on Christ. Our eyes are wanting to live under His authority. So His Word being a highest authority. And then every other structure coming from His Word we submit to with joy. Not because we believe the people have it all figured out, but because we know He does. And we're trusting Him. So I can submit to a less than perfect person in His kingdom because I am looking to Him. And I cannot fear that because they might make some mistakes because I'm looking to Him. Some lining up under Jesus, lining up under His authority and according to His Word. Submitting to others according to His authority in the order that He's established. Because we love and trust Jesus. Now listen, submission to people, be it out there or in the church especially, comes second to submission to Him. To submission to His gospel. To having the humility to believe, I am desperately broken and I can't fix it. All my righteousness is filthy rags. I can never save myself. I won't be saved on the basis of some scale that's going to weigh whether I'm good or bad. Because the good side is poof. That means nothing. Outside of Christ, all of my attempts to save myself, to do good, are what the Bible calls, not me, filthy rags. So having the humility to go before God and cry out for His mercy, to hope in Jesus 100% and not in myself. To submit to His authority because I believe that cross shows that He loves me. He has the best out in line for me. That He is perfectly wise. So He not only makes the best goals, but the best means or path to that goal. I can trust Him when I don't get it. So submitting to His gospel, trusting in Him, my Savior, my Lord, my Judge. Then outflowing from that, submitting to whatever authority He's put in place. Postmodern minds don't like to talk about authority, but Jesus don't mind. He has He's the ultimate authority. His word is the highest authority coming from Him that we have. Underneath that, He gives men responsibility and women responsibility in certain places to be servant leaders like Jesus. And I'm to submit even when they're not perfectly servant leaders. So this sets the place for what will follow in the home, in the workplace. We'll talk about spiritual warfare. Talk about some other things as we move forward. But being submissive to the gospel, having that humility put in me to submit to the gospel, to submit to Jesus, to see my need, and then being happy to line up under Jesus according to His word, we move forward. Be amazed by this. The evidence that Paul gives of being filled with the Spirit is a heart that is submitting to Jesus through the gospel. Therefore, it is satisfied and trusts Him. Therefore, it's a singing heart. A submitted, satisfied, singing heart is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Singing because I'm satisfied, and satisfied because I'm submissive, and all of that because of His grace. Submissive to His word and will because I trust Him. Do you trust Him? Listen, ask yourself this question, do I trust Him? Because there's some hard things that either are going on in your life, have gone on, or will go on that are going to test you. This world is not your home. It's a fallen world. It's a darkened world. This is not where our hopes and affections are to be. And sometimes, hard things happen. And if we think this is heaven and everything should go good for us, we're going to be tested. Can you trust Him with your pain? Can you trust Him with your struggle, your failure, your loss? Can you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Look to the cross. Look to the cross. And then answer that question. Can I trust a God who ran into my situation like that? And took my hell, I said it, eternal hell, upon Himself. And drank that cup dry for me. And was raised from the dead. Can I trust Him? Will He tell me the truth? Yes. Will He see me through my struggle? Yes. Will He make me like Himself? Yes. Will He show me what is true and what is true to be hoped in? And will He put my heart in heaven with Him? Yes. So the Spirit works in us for our affections to be tied to Christ, so that we are submitted to Him, satisfied in Him, singing for His glory. That's being filled with the Spirit. So revel in His grace, rejoice in His goodness, and rest in His love. Depend upon the Spirit to make you contented and submissive and satisfied. And have a song in your heart because of the grace of the Lord. Let's pray and then we'll transition to the Lord's Supper. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Gospel. Thank You for hope. Thank You for clear instruction on what the life looks like that Your Spirit is at work in. Submitted to Your grace, satisfied with You and Your grace, and worshiping You on a daily basis, and having the high point of our week being gathering to worship You and sing songs of praise to You, to hear Your word, to pray Your word, to preach Your word, to sing Your word, to read Your word, to have Christ before our face. Thank You. Thank You for Your grace. And Lord, as we transition to the Lord's Supper, I just pray that Your gospel would be manifestly evident as we remember the death of our Savior. That He lived for us, that He died for us, and yes, gloriously, was raised on the third day. Is seated in heaven, reigning for us, and will return someday. And when He comes back, we will be like Him. Praise the Lord. Help us to celebrate. Be at work in us with Your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.